Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Seems like I've spent my whole life hoping, dreaming of things I've never tried. Tangled in knots just waiting for my time to shine. What if the doors began to open? What if the knots became untied? What if one day nothing stood in my way and the world was mine? Would it feel this far?
Hello and welcome back to Patreon with Cheese. I'm joined as always by, you know, a common acquaintance, Elizabeth Esten. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm good.
Feeling all right? Feeling good?
Feeling all right. Yeah. No boyfriends have tricked me into stealing priceless artifacts.
Well, that's good. That's good. But are you also going into a 24 style like Law and Order episode?
I mean, I wish I was. It'd be fun as hell.
I mean, it wouldn't be fun as hell to, you know, be going to prison.
That's true. Going to prison is bad, but that's Disney prison. Shouldn't be too bad.
Joke was so edgy, I disappeared.
Jess, you froze again.
Did you hear my joke, though?
I didn't hear your joke.
Okay, good. It was very edgy. I was like, oh no.
Well, good. We may have to cut it.
I think if you didn't hear it, it didn't go up.
That's true.
So we'll just never know.
We'll never know. It's a mystery.
So the first episode, Cassandra might be a heterosexual.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
No, like, she's we a lesbian.
All last episode showing this cute boy simping after her, the short king.
And short then
this
king.
Tan, dark, and handsome guy.
Yeah, played by fucking Dennis the Pager King.
Ooh.
Dean Winters.
Ooh, what's that from?
30 Rock. Liz Lemon's boyfriend.
Oh, yes.
I knew he was evil because he was played by Dennis the Pager King.
He just has a scary looking face.
He does. He's also that guy from those insurance commercials that, like,
oh, yeah,
tells you all the disastrous things that are happening. That's what he's more well known for. But when I see him as Dennis. So,
yeah. The episode was fun. Like, I like the hot air balloon stuff.
I like how Dean Winters is trying to sound like all sexy.
Hello.
Like seductive. Like, hello, I'm a handsome prince-like person.
Hello, dummy, Liz Lemon.
He says Liz so much. It's just like, wow, Dennis, I feel attacked.
I like this episode. I like the twist, because for a good chunk of it, you think that it is legit. Like, she might be into him.
Cassandra's a good actress.
She's like getting like shamed about her big arms and how strong and badass she is. But when the reveal comes that she knew all along, that makes more sense that she's uncomfortable about that, because she doesn't want him to know how strong and capable she is.
She doesn't want to know that, like, if you give her a sword, you're fucked.
This has a better flipping twist than Scream 3.
It does. It does. You're talking about Scream between recordings.
Yeah, we're talking about the
scenes
movies.
Fact.
And Scream 3 has a really dumb twist.
It does. If you have not seen Scream 3, it is a dumb twist.
Yeah, long lost brothers. Long lost brothers. Old trope.
Luckily, there's no brothers in this episode. That'd be weird.
I know. I was gonna tweet this, but I thought it was too niche. Has there been a parody of Scream called Tango Maureen yet about Maureen Prescott and all of the stuff she's been involved in?
Maureen Prescott has gone around.
But that has like that is like a very. That joke should be there. Theater kids and horror fans, come on, make this.
Yeah, horror fans, theater kids and musical theater, horror fans and musical theater fans are a very small subset of people.
Well, like, you got one small subset, another small subset, then you got that small subset within them.
Yeah.
And
like,
then you have
join
us,
together.
Liz, we are that subset.
We are members of that subset. I love musicals, but I also love when people get murdered.
I love both of those things quite a bit.
Yeah, that's why I want to watch West Side Story.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's that actually has some of the best cadaver makeup I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In what? No spoils, but there is a scene where you see a dead body, and it's convincing.
Ooh, I am compelled. Yes, Spielberg. Yes. I still love how it was trending for a week. It's like, wow, this scene is really good. And it's like, wow, you guys really, Spielberg is good at directing? Good job,
but,
Twitter.
But I liked Guillermo stepping in to be like, it's like Salieri watching Mozart. I can't understand or keep up.
I was like avoiding those clips for the life of me because I had not seen the movie yet. I was just like, I don't want to see a scene.
That movie's so flipping good, though.
I know, but it's on HBO and Disney now, so I have two sources.
Well, now you can play them both at the same time on different...
Yeah. I do have big computers now, so I can use them.
Yeah. But Rapunzel, still no songs.
There's still no songs in either of these episodes. We're talking about 9 and 10 and today. It's like, no songs.
Like, there are a lot of shots of Rapunzel's feet in this episode, especially when she's, like, dangling from the thing and her legs are spread. I'm like, this is... Someone's turned
this into fan fiction.
And she's, like, walking on the thorny bits. It's like, ugh.
As a reminder, if you find any weird Tangled the Series fan fiction, send it to us.
Yes, send it to us. Care of musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com.
Yeah, we will maybe read it.
I will... You know what? If you write us some Rapunzel the...
We'll read it if you write it yourself. Yeah.
If you write it yourself and send it to us, we will read it on podcast.
We'll totally read it.
Watch it happen, but it would be when we post this on the main feed, like 7-8 months from now, and I'm like, oh no, I'm getting inundated with Tangled the Series fanfic.
And we promise we can't keep.
Guess we'll do it in season 2.
Yep. There's probably more fanfiction in that season.
I like this episode. It was good.
I enjoyed it. Also, the action in the show is just really good.
Yes, especially like the hot air balloon. I think they're underused in media because they're very really difficult are. To shoot in, but they're so cool looking.
They're really compelling modes of transportation.
Like, that's the one good part of Barney's Great Adventure. It ends in a hot air balloon chase.
That movie is the shit when you're 5. I, as a 5-year-old, loved that movie. So.
I remember seeing it in theaters and being like, me as a 5-year-old, I'm enjoying this.
Yes. Yes. That's what you thought when you're 5.
Yeah, I announced it to the theater. Hello!
I am five. As
the 5-year-old target audience for this film, I'm greatly enjoying it.
That's me when I was, like, under 10, and I wore out the shit out of my Elmo and Grouchland VHS.
Ooh, Mandy McTinkin's eyebrows.
Yeah, I didn't know Mandy McTinkin's in that movie because I didn't care. I was just like, Elmo! He's the best! I love Elmo! And my siblings were like, Elmo's a new addition. Like, Elmo's, I'm like, Elmo's the best. Elmo's World's the best part of Sesame Street. Shut up. I was an Elmo kid. I'm sorry.
I was not an Elmo kid. I liked Elmo fine, but
I liked Elmo a lot. But now that I know the guy who created Elmo is a creeper, I have mixed feelings about Elmo.
those allegations were thrown out in court.
Oh God.
Elmo did nothing wrong.
Just tickle me and I'll be free. Elmo.
So Elmo and Grouchland was something I rented, and the only thing I found compelling was the villain, and I'm like, oh. And I was young. I was like 6.
And then you watched Sunday in the Park with George when you were older.
Yeah, and I was like, oh. He couldn't finish the hat.
He couldn't get the blankie.
No, this is my blanket. I am Mandy Patinkin.
This is my blanket, and I'm going to sing.
Oh, like he's singing about who he wants. It's like a weird rock number too.
They
wrote a rock song for Mandy Patinkin, which just does not suit his voice.
It doesn't. But he also has a little cute worm friend to help him.
Yeah.
His cute little worm friend is so cute.
I think Vanessa Williams also has a song in that movie.
She does. She sings a weirdly sexy song.
She goes full Star Wars Holiday Special?
A little bit. Not, like, insane because it's a Sesame Street production, but it's basically, like, motivating Elmo to, like, help out the Grouches or something, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so it's just like when Diane Carroll shows up a splooge on her head and tries to fuck a Wookiee.
I mean, not Diane Carroll is a fucking AI thing. Like, she's not actually there, so...
The Wookiee grandpa cyber jacketed in the living room on Christmas. Come on.
Still not as bad as the 20-minute scene where they speak Wookiee for Wookiee with no subtitles.
Honestly, I feel like people complain about that too much.
Yeah, it's true.
They do enough to show you what's going on. And if you're paying attention, it's not the worst thing in the world. I actually appreciate that as a bold choice, as stupid as
honestly,
that sounds.
The best part of the Star Wars, especially when B. Arthur shows up as a bartender.
Okay, tied B. Arthur in the animated sequence. Both of those are the best scenes.
Yes, the animated sequence is great. We didn't need Book of Boba Fett. We had that animated sequence.
I'm wondering if for a Christmas live stream, we should drinking game the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Because there's like one song by Diane Carroll.
No, no, there's a lot of songs. Bea Arthur gets a song. There's a ton of songs.
Oh, yeah, Carrie Fisher sings a song on Coke.
Yeah, and what else? Jefferson Starship sings a song.
Yeah. Also, the fun part is a great thing. Like, when you're watching episode 5 in high def, you can see Carrie Fisher's Coke nail.
That's episode 6.
Episode 6, yeah. You can see her Coke nail.
Yeah.
It's funny as hell.
But she denies that. She's like, I didn't do coke. I snorted coke right off a table with a credit card like a normal drug addict.
I love Carrie Fisher.
She is the best part of Scream 3.
She is.
She's barely in it.
Especially when she talks about just like that, like, I fucked George Lucas and I still didn't get the part.
No, it's like, who do you think got it? Me or the one that fucked George Lucas?
Oh, yeah, that's a better line.
And she used that line so often.
I was like 16.
That movie's not as terrible as I expected it to be.
Yeah, wait till you get to Scream 4, which a lot of people give crap, but it's really good. So
I just watched the trailer, and it looks like Repo: The Genetic Opera. Like,
it's really, I find it deeply compelling. It has a Culkin in it. It's great.
Is it a Culkin? Is it Kieran?
Nah, Rory Culkin.
Okay, because I watched the commercial. I was like, is that Kieran Culkin?
No, that's Rory Culkin.
Miranda's like, no, that's not Kieran Culkin, you fucking idiot. I hope you die.
Did you watch Succession?
I love Succession. Succession okay. is pretty good.
That's probably why she got offended, because Kieran Culkin is now a god among men.
Kieran Culkin's very good in Succession.
He's also very good in Scott Pilgrim, which is what I personally love him in.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim's great. Have you watched Last Night in Soho, though?
I haven't yet.
I gave you a link and everything.
I know. Don't say that. It's a secret. No. It's on rental now, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I know. No, I haven't gotten to it yet. I expressed to my partner as if they wanted to watch Last Night in Soho, and they're like, because they're also big Edgar Wright fans, so I'm holding out.
Because I want your thoughts, because a lot of men are coming up to me like, it's bad for women, and I'm like, Edgar.
And then the women are like, it's not that bad.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Every woman I've watched it with was like, no, that show is, that
it's like the reverse of Mother, because like a lot of women hated that, and a lot of men liked it.
I did not watch Mother, but Kristen Wiig, which brings us back to Barb and Star.
Jess finally watched Barb and Star.
I did. Yes. Both you and Joel have been like telling me.
Joel Arnold, I only talk to Joel Arnold on Twitter when he mentions Barb and Star. Oh, they. Yeah, my bad. I also like when they mentioned Barb and Star. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I love Joel.
Barb and Star is an amazing movie.
Yeah. But what isn't amazing is Uncle Marty or Uncle Monty. Let's go on to the next episode.
Yes. Uncle Monty's back.
Yeah. I'm surprised at the continuity they're pulling out, because we just got Valerian and the two cities, and then we have Uncle Monty.
Mr. Kind is back.
The guest star's name is Richard Kind.
Yes. This episode is a true crime video.
I actually really enjoyed this episode.
I
this
love
is probably
it.
One of my favorite episodes.
I love all the weird time codes they pop up, because they add more jokes to it.
Yeah.
As it goes on.
And it's like the Rapunzel font.
It's the Rapunzel font. Like, the last one is like Wednesday, whatever time, and then in parentheses, in 27 seconds. Like, yes. Yeah. No, it's like, also, it's a solid lesson about not judging people for what they look like.
Yeah. And I just really like Attila.
I love Attila. He's voiced by a voice actor who's like hundreds of credits.
Yeah.
He's like really good.
I like that Monty and Rapunzel still kind of hate each other.
I like their dynamic. It's fun.
Yeah, like, if I'm glad they brought it back. Like, I would have been happy if they had kept it where it was at the end of that one episode, but I'm happy that there's more to say there.
Yeah, but there is a mentioning the cheese barefoot for the first time in like 10 episodes.
Yeah, because she steps in like the goo.
She steps in like maple syrup.
Yeah,
I think it's maple syrup.
So there was one thing odd about this episode. So he mentioned Milton the Goat.
Milton the Goat.
Is he someone we've seen before? Is he
no?
Because they say it like we all should know. Oh yeah, Milton.
Milton, our favorite. I don't. We're watching these like week by week, so I'm not binging this. Neither of us really are. So maybe Monty the Goat was mentioned in a prior episode, but I do not remember Monty the Goat. But now act like Monty's a character.
Yeah, like it was very weird, and I'm like, okay. Is this someone we should know about?
Yeah, but he's like a major plot point.
He is, because he turns out to be the murderer. He and Paul F. Murderer. Tompkins did it.
Yeah, Paul F. Tompkins did it, because he was sleeping.
Yeah, I thought this episode was just pure cute. I'm happy to have Richard Kind back.
Like, Richard Kind is just so, like, I'm sure Richard Kind is kind of a dick behind the scenes, but like on camera, yeah, he's very sweet.
He's a lot of fun to just watch and listen to. And I like how they set him up to be like the logical person behind it.
Oh, yeah.
But, and they're just like, why are you always looking like that? He's like, I keep forgetting to put my glasses on.
I remember when they revealed, like, oh, Monty destroyed his own shop to mess with Attila in his career. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Right? That was my first thought. It definitely wasn't Attila.
Yeah. Like, and the fact that Monty's a little too nice, but then that goes with everything we've seen about him, where everyone just kind of likes Monty. Except I like how this goes to show that it's not black and white. Just because Rapunzel doesn't like this guy doesn't mean he's secretly evil.
No, it just means that they don't get along, and that's okay. Yeah. You don't get along with everybody.
I mean, I do, but other people don't.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I just, you're going to come across people you don't get along with, and that's okay.
Sometimes you got to work even harder to make them your best friend, especially if they really have a distaste for you. You got to work harder.
Rapunzel, step back.
No. You got to work even harder because you have to be friends with everyone, Liz.
I am not.
I know. I teasing.
I know.
Forgive us if this is a short Rapunzel Light episode, but my gosh, there's not much to say about these two episodes.
They're just really cute.
Really good. Cassandra does get sidelined in the second episode.
Yeah, and so does Eugene gets sidelined in this episode. But in the last episode, he has a running thing about how the prince, his name's Andrew.
That's rough.
Yes, he's not a prince though. So I just got him mixed up. He's just a rebel.
Well, let's talk about the last episode a bit for a second, because we start with like this long backstory about Solaris.
Yeah,
and their history,
which is the name of a George Clooney movie, but yeah, you know, I'm not gonna get into that. That movie's about space, I think. I've never seen it. So it starts with this backstory about like Solaris and the kingdom of a Corona beer. I'm saying beer in front of that, so I'll get in trouble. Basically, like they hated each other, and because of this book, and then the queen of the George Clooney movie comes to the kingdom of Panorama. And then they meet, and then the queen looks at the end of the book, and then it's revealed that the king loves her, and then they get married, even though they had years of animosity and war between them.
Hey, sometimes I think that's how the Ukraine-Russia conflict's gonna end.
So who's Putin gonna fall in love with?
Zelensky.
Oh God, that's a power couple.
yeah, by power couple we mean dictators. Who's going to be the bottom?
Okay, we're in the middle of World War III.
Who's going to draw the fanfic of that one?
Oh, no. Someone on TikTok probably did. It's just somewhere deep in the algorithm.
Have you seen the video where the lady's like, "Dear Putin, I wish I was your mother."
I tried. I watched a little bit of that video and I nearly died.
I think me and Andrew had it like embolism because we were laughing so hard.
Yeah, I was going around on Twitter and I was watched the first minute or so because it goes on for way too long. And I was like, oh no.
Oh, backed out. No.
I backed out. I was like, I can't hear this lady talk about how Putin needs to be loved.
I honestly, I had a thought last time we recorded Musicals with Cheese, which was, man, will we still like have a planet by the time this episode gets released? That was a literal thought I had during our last recording session.
Oh God, I hope like, we have a planet.
And I'm thinking about that right now, like, man, will the Earth even exist in its current form by the time this episode about Rapunzel goes out to the world?
I have no idea. No idea. But, you know, we have Barb and Star to save us.
Yeah, that'll be the last thing I watch. Like,
and Trish. Most importantly, we have Trish.
Yes, Reba McEntire. Spoilers. Yeah.
Also, watch Barb and Star. I'm not telling you the premise because I refuse to tell anyone the premise of that movie. Just
yeah,
watch it.
It was a delightful discovery. Like, the first 30 seconds, like, the first opening scene of that movie was
magical.
Incredible. I do want to say Kristen Wiig plays a better villain in Barb and Star than she did in Wonder Woman. Like a more compelling, engaging villain character.
Oh no, I love Kristen Wiig in that part. It's like I didn't think she'd be good as the antagonist, but it was like
she's so good.
She's so good in everything. Also, Annie Mumble is really good. Like
given less to do.
Yeah, but she's like she's a screenwriter, not an actress. So yeah. It's not her normal gig, but she's like, I'm gonna do this. And then Jamie Dorton's just wonderful.
Yeah, that was
he's so good. I didn't like Jamie Dorton until I watched this movie.
Agreed. One of the Wayans brothers is in it.
Yeah, I forgot which one.
His running gag might
it's
have been
so
the one
funny.
That every time I
so funny.
I know you didn't recognize me because of my disguise.
Yes, I did. He's just constantly giving up too much information. Also, the culottes thing. The movie literally opens with the dictionary definition of a culotte, and I knew it was the best movie ever. I was like, what a culottes have to do with anything in this movie? And then the first scene happens, like, oh, this is that movie.
And it saves the world.
Culottes saved us. I wear skinny jeans.
Saved us.
I wear skinny jeans. I need more culottes, clearly.
The thing is about Barb and Star, I don't understand them as characters. Like, I don't understand what their pitch is.
Two Midwestern women just want to live their lives.
My favorite gag, and I know this is a Tangled podcast, so probably shouldn't talk about Barb and Star, is just randomly they will cut back to the talking group with Vanessa Bayer.
Vanessa Bayer, Phyllis, like, fortune feast. It's like, oh, yeah.
She just wants to talk about her horses.
She just wants to talk about horses. Just let her talk about horses. Let Phyllis talk about horses. Just let her talk.
My graphic socks.
Icon. The hot dog soup. Every little thing about that movie.
So many choices. I wish it were directed by a woman. Like,
yeah.
I wish that a woman had made those choices.
Yeah, I feel like it was directed by Wiig and Mumolo, and they just got a guy to, like, do the technical shit.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we don't usually direct, so we're gonna hire this dude to direct.
However,
we're gonna tell him what to do a lot.
That being said, whoever this director guy was, much better director at executing Kristen Wiig's vision than Paul Feig ever was.
Yeah. I think Paul Feig is really good at making Kristen Wiig's weird ideas a little too clean cut for the world.
Like, I did not enjoy A Simple Favor. Have you watched that movie?
I honestly, I love A Simple Favor. I know it's bad.
Let me say
but
this.
It's like my trash.
It's got such a great premise and a good screenplay that a terrible director ruined. That's my pitch.
Yeah, that's part of it. Honestly, it's like my trash. Like, I love A Simple Favor.
I just remember on the commentary, Paul Feig was like, yeah, there was a lot of scenes that originally took place at night and was like supposed to be dark, but I wanted everyone to be able to go home at 5 p.m. every day. So we just changed every night to day, made it a daytime horror.
Oh, God. Make it shoot it at night, Feig.
Feig, come
nighttime on. Horror doesn't work all the time. It works sometimes. Like Midsommar,
daytime,
it works.
Midsommar, like, that works because you're, and I think, what you call it? The Invisible Man works.
Yeah,
as,
that
like,
works
daytime
too.
Horror, because you're always looking.
But he's an invisible man, so it's compelling. You can never see him. Like, it's great.
Yes. So, Liz, what is your overall thoughts on these two episodes of Rapunzel and your cheese ratings?
I like both these episodes. I think the action in the first one was fun. I like the true crime aspect of the second one. And Richard Kind is back. Like, I can't help but love it.
Yeah, I
agree. I love Richard Kind. Richard Kind is the shit.
Richard Kind is so much fun. I really like the plot lines and all that. So I'm just going to give these both Gouda, because this is like drippy, drippy Gouda cheese.
I want to give these both a brie, because it's delicious, because they're both very good and delicious.
Don't talk about my producer that way.
Brie cheese, not Brie the person. Sorry, Brie.
Are you saying she isn't great and delicious?
I'm saying she's great. I'm not going to call her delicious.
I won't either. We'll see you next time on Patreon with cheese. Say goodbye, Liz.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, I'm John Mulaney, and I'm here to say...
Seems like I've spent my whole life hoping, dreaming of things I've never tried. Tangled in knots just waiting for my time to shine. What if the doors began to open? What if the knots became untied? What if one day nothing stood in my way and the world was mine? Would it feel this far?
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.